Word of God says in 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, the 1st verse, these words. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. In the last days perilous times shall come. I'm sure it does not come as a surprise to many of you that perilous times have already come. We seem to be in our world today, the Word of God declares that we are living in the last days. That the Lord Jesus could come at any moment. As a matter of fact, if He were to come in the next moment while we're standing and sitting here and worshiping and praising Him, if He were to come during this morning service, it would not surprise me a bit. And it wouldn't surprise most of you. There is not anything that needs to be accomplished before Jesus Christ comes once again to take His church away to be with Him. And those that are in the world today who are drinking and eating and making merry and giving in marriage and in marrying, the same way they did in the days of Noah, and saying that no, God's not coming, no, Jesus is not coming. Where is His appearing? You've been saying this for 2,000 years. Where is He? If He was really coming, He'd have come already. When He comes, the world will be in the same condition that it was in the days of Noah. They'll be eating their sumptuous meals and drinking their sumptuous beverages, and marrying and giving in marriage and making merry and having a good time. And the Lord Jesus will come in the clouds with 10,000s of His saints and gather up the souls and the spirits of those that belong unto Him that are waiting for His appearing. And He will come as a thief in a night and take His church away. And the world will be in wonder and in amazement in the same way they were in the days of Noah. And they'll wonder, what happened to all those people? Where are they? But they'll be gone. We're living in that day, in the day just preceding the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I look for Him and expect Him any day. And I praise my God that I'm ready when He comes. Are you? Are you ready when He comes? As we're living in these days, the Bible says that in the last days, perilous times shall come. It will not be an easy time to live in. It's a perilous time. And we live in those kinds of days. We have going on in our church right now, some of our ladies are involved in a program that is known as the 3D program. Those 3Ds stand for diet, discipline, and discipleship. But it seems as I've been reflecting this week on this particular matter, perilous times and the last days, it seems that we are living, this world is living, also on a 3D program, but another kind. It's a program that Satan has poured out on the earth for these last days, and the 3Ds in this program are depression, despair, and discouragement. Unfortunately, many even in the body of Christ are enrolled in that program. Discouragement, despair, and depression. I don't know how many times each week I talk with people both within and without the body of Christ who are bound and oppressed with one or more of these things, depression, despair, and discouragement. Now, the Spirit of the Lord has witnessed to me that today there are a number of people in the auditorium today that are in that situation, that are oppressed, that are depressed, that are discouraged, and some of you may even be on the verge of despair. It's a perilous, perilous time. But the Word of God is the thing that causes men and women to be set free. Jesus said this in the 8th chapter of the book of John, the 31st and the 32nd verse. He said this, "If ye continue in my word, then ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If you are or have been oppressed in any way by one of these, discouragement, despair, or depression, listen carefully today for some practical instruction out of the Word of God. Listen very carefully today for the words of the Spirit of God for you. There's an answer for depression. There's an answer for despair. There's an answer for discouragement. And that answer is not purely deliverance, although that's a valid answer as well. When oppressive spirits have come upon you, deliverance is the answer, yes, to be cast forth in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Christian life is more than into despair and out again, into despair and out again, into discouragement and out again. The Christian life is more than oppression and deliverance, oppression and deliverance, oppression and deliverance, and one roller coaster ride after another. Jesus did not live that kind of life. The Word of God says that He has established an example for us to follow. God did not save you or me out of bondage only to come back into it again and again and again. He does not deliver you today to have you fall back into the same pit tomorrow. He didn't set you free last week only to have you falling around in the same mud hole Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday. The power of the Almighty God is sufficient and is adequate to set you free once and for all and set you up on the high ground where you can walk above that garbage, that junk. God's able to deliver you and to keep you delivered. We're to walk the high road, not the low road. I like what Paul said in his letter to the Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians, chapter number 5, chapter number 4, he said this, verse 8, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed." Not distressed. "We are perplexed, but we are not in despair. We are persecuted, but we're not forsaken. We are cast down, but we're not destroyed. Yes, these things have come against me," the Apostle Paul said, "but I'm walking the high place by the power of the living God, and they are not putting me under. They are not going to oppress me. They are not going to depress me. My life is hidden in Christ, and Christ is hidden in God. I've got victory over those things." He said in 2 Corinthians, the 2nd chapter, I believe it's the 14th verse, "Praise be unto God who always causes us to triumph in Jesus Christ." God's way is the way of victory. God's way is the way of triumph. God's way is not the way of roller coaster. Now, how can we walk the high place? How can we live in these perilous times free from discouragement, free from despair, and free from depression? Are we never going to be persecuted? Are we never going to be distressed? Are we never going to have any difficulties? The Word of God does not say that. Jesus prayed in the 17th chapter of John. He said, "Father, I pray not that you deliver my followers out of the world, but that you deliver them from the evil that's in it." You protect them from the effect of the evil that's in it. He said, "As long as you are in the world, children, you will have tribulation. But fear not, be of good cheer, for I what? Have overcome the world." I have overcome the world. Those things need not oppress and press down. Now let's look at God's Word in the Proverbs. Turn with me, if you will, please, to the 15th chapter. Now I want you, if you have your Bibles, I want you to see this with me. And I want you to note it. It's of central importance. It's of central importance to what it is that I believe each and every one of us wants. Freedom from these three D's. I know I'm going to have it. I've already got it in Christ Jesus. Something that the Lord has shown me in the last couple of weeks, and especially in the last couple of days, has just really blessed me. You know, there's something that you can do. There's something that I can do to enable us to walk the high road. And here it is in Proverbs chapter 15. Read aloud with me, please, verse number 13. Read with me. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken. All right, now, this is a matter, you see, of the heart. He says, a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but a sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken on the inside. That the condition of your heart, if it be merry or if it be sorrowful, is the thing that determines whether your countenance is cheerful or whether your spirit is broken. Do you see it? All right, now read with me, please, verse number 15. All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. Does that sound good to you? Oh, that sounds good to me. He that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. Does that sound like a roller coaster ride? It sounds like a continual walk on the high road, doesn't it? He says a continual feast, a good thing, you see. How do we get that continual feast? How do we have a cheerful countenance? Through a merry heart. Now turn to the 17th chapter, please, of the book of Proverbs. Some of you are wondering, well, where's he going to go with this? Chapter 17, verse 22. Read aloud with me, please. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. The Word of God says that a merry heart will keep your body healthy too. A merry heart will give you a cheerful countenance. A merry heart will give you a continuous feast. And a merry heart is like a good medicine in your body. This word that's merry, translated merry out of the Hebrew, literally means this: to brighten up. To brighten up. Now that sounds to me to be exactly the opposite of despair, discouragement, and depression. A merry heart. A merry heart. If a merry heart will drive away discouragement, will keep away despair and depression, I want to know how to get and to keep a merry heart. I want to know how it is that I can have a merry heart. Because it says in the Word of God that a merry heart will give me a cheerful countenance. It will give me a continual feast in my soul. And it will cause my body to be in health. That sounds to be important to me. Doesn't it to you? All right, how can we have a merry heart? How can we have a merry heart in accordance with the Word of God? Let's turn back in the Proverbs to the 4th chapter. Now you're going to have to stay with me close here so that you get this connection. Once you get the connection, then the rest of it will just fall right in line. Chapter number 4, Proverbs, verse number 23. This is confirmation now of what we've just said about the importance of the heart. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it, that is out of the heart, are all of the issues of life. Now, who is to keep the heart? God or me? We're to keep it. The subject understood in that verse is you keep thy heart. Don't pray asking God to keep it. You keep it. This is your responsibility and my responsibility to keep our own hearts, to watch over them and to protect them and to see what goes in them and to sift through what goes in. Now this just jumped in my mind. I'm going to use it. It may be a little crude, but it'll make the point. I think maybe I've used this before. Every one of you have on the inside of your nose, in your nostrils, little hairs. What are they there for? They are there to protect what goes down on the inside of your lungs. They're there to sift out the garbage and the junk that is in the air so it does not go down in the lungs, so that the only thing that goes down inside your lungs is pure air, where it's not going to be harmful, but it will be beneficial. It will keep your lungs healthy. God has the same plan and the same intention, not with nose hair, but with an act of your own will to keep your heart pure in the same way that He has already provided to keep your lungs pure. But this is something that you and I must do as believers, not something that He has already done. The Word says, you keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are all the issues of life. And if your heart is healthy, then you'll be healthy. But if it's sick, you'll be sick. Now jump up with me, please, to the 20th verse. Same chapter. And we begin to make a connection here as far as how we can keep our heart pure. How can I and you have a merry heart? My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. Now let me read those two verses again and look carefully as to where is the input for the heart. Where does the heart receive its input? My son, attend unto my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, but keep them in the midst of thine heart. Do you know how the things get into your heart that get there? They get in through what you hear, and they get in through what you see. He says, incline thine ear to my sayings. Listen to what I am saying. Don't let them depart from your eyes. Keep your eyes and your ears clean and pure, and your heart will also be pure. Now the New Testament, if you'll turn there with me, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Makes the same connection. First Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 9 and 10. Well, just 9. We'll look at that. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. How do the things enter into the heart of man? They enter through your eyes and through your ears. How do things get into your heart? They come in through your ears and your eyes. That is the gateway that allows things into your heart. In the same way that your nose and your mouth allow air to get to your lungs, your eyes, now listen carefully, this is important to you. Your eyes and your ears are the gateway that allow things to come into your heart. Do you see that? All right. Eye hath not seen nor ear heard, nor hath entered into the heart of man, because the eye hasn't seen and the ear hasn't heard. That's why it hasn't entered into the heart yet. That's what he's saying here. All right, then, how can I be sure that my heart is merry and not sorrowful, by watching what I see and by what I hear. I'm going to give you some practical advice. So many Christians, it's very unfortunate, it's tragic, but so many Christians don't understand why they do not have the joy of the Lord in their life. They do not understand why the power of God that seems to be in other believers' lives are not in theirs. They don't understand why they can't stay on top. They don't understand why they feel miserable half the time. But do you know what enters the eyes and the ears of most of those believers? When they're driving along in their car and they want some diversion, instead of turning on WYNX, I've got no stock in WYNX, please understand. But instead of turning on WYNX, they turn on Z93. I've got nothing against Z93 either. Except it will not give you a merry heart. So you tune in Z93 and you get some, whoa, 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 my baby's left me and I'm so blue. And you wonder why you have no joy of the Lord. You turn in Quixie and it tells you about how last night the girl's boyfriend, after he had just bedded her, ran out on her. In the song. And then when you get home from the grocery store, you sit down in front of the television and you watch As the World Turns. Is that still on? Is it? Don't too many of you acknowledge, because I don't know what you've been watching. And we watch that garbage, and that's what it is garbage. And we listen to that junk. We surround ourselves with people who are negative, who are worldly, who do not have any understanding of spiritual things, and they feed us in our ears and in our eyes everything that is contrary to the Word of God. And we do not get enough of God's Word. We come to church Sunday morning and we get a dose of it, but it's not enough to last us all through the week. If you want a merry heart, you are going to have to keep your heart with all diligence. You're going to have to watch what you see. You're going to have to watch what you hear. Now, most of what we are given in the world today is labeled entertainment. But I'm going to tell you what it is labeled in the kingdom of God. Bondage. It will bring you under subjection without your knowing it. When you try to pray, it'll be hard to pray. When you go to sing, there'll be no joy in your heart. When you go to share with someone else, there isn't anything there to share because you're down so low yourself that you could stand upright and walk underneath the snake's belly. And you're a Christian. And you're in worse shape than your neighbor next door who's dead lost. Because you watch the streets of San Francisco instead of the 700 Club. And that's right, brother. It is amen. Now, this is straight talk. Some of you are going to receive it and you're going to understand it and you're going to say, praise God Almighty for letting me see this so clearly. Now I understand how I can keep a merry heart. Now I understand that it is possible for me to walk up here in the joy of the Lord all the time from morning until night, and that circumstances do not have to drag me down all the time. Because if I watch what I feed myself, if I listen to Jimmy Swaggart instead of some rock group, Jimmy Swaggart will sing your heart full of hallelujah. He'll sing your heart full of everybody shouting over there on the hills of glory. He'll fill your heart full of praise the Lord God Almighty instead of whoa, 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 how awful. Now I want you to know it is possible for you to live and get by without ever listening to Z93. I mean, it really is. Do you realize that I've lived 40 years and I've never listened to Z93 and I'm perfectly healthy? And I don't mean to pick on Z93. You understand that. In my car radio, and don't misunderstand that I have no intention or desire to lift myself up, none whatsoever. Only I'll lift up Jesus, that's all. But I want you to know why I feel the way I do all the time. And the reason I do is that there's only three radio stations ever play in my car, and one of them is WYNX, and one of them is WTJH, and the other one is WGUN. And nothing ever plays in my car other than those. And if those are not playing what I want to hear, and sometimes there's some junk on there too, then I've got Jimmy Swaggart, I've got Hey Hallelujah, I've got Dallas Holm in there, Hey I'm a Believer. Then you can't listen to that too long without getting happy. See? And plug in a tape. You see? Now when you feed your heart that kind of stuff, your heart will go to getting merry. Now let me just share an experience that I had. I shared with a number of you how absolutely miserable I was when I got back from Asheville, North Carolina, back in March. We'd been up there for 3 days, and you remember me sharing with you, a number of you, I guess, how the Lord dealt with me so powerfully up there and how awful I felt when I got back. We got back on a Thursday night, and I hadn't eaten for 3 days, and I hadn't done anything but cry. I got in my car that night. Lois had come to choir practice. There wasn't anybody home but me, and I thought, well, now this is dumb. I'm going to get me something to eat. And I got in the car and I put in I had a tape in the car, and I put in a tape of Choruses by the Gaithers. And I listened to it all the way from here to Cumberland. And I didn't want to eat in Douglasville because I didn't want to see anybody I knew because I felt so miserable. I didn't want to run into anybody. So I went all the way to Cumberland with that music playing. I still felt awful, and then I had something to eat. I came out, and the music was still playing. About half the way home, I found that I was singing with a tape. Didn't even know it. Be careful what you listen to. Be careful what you see. The magazines that you read, the things that you allow, the television you watch, I tell you that, and those of you parents with children, and I've talked about this before, and I just give it to you by way of advice and by way of warning. Watch what goes into the eyes and the ears of your children, because it will settle in their hearts. Now, some of you as adults could even give testimony if I gave you opportunity this morning. Some of you ladies could give testimony to what has happened to you just from your television watching. Amen? That when you watch certain kinds of programs on television, and what happened when you stopped? It's a spiritual law that what goes in your eyes and in your ears goes straight to your heart. Why do you think that Paul said, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God? Godly faith comes by hearing God's word. But faith in other things comes by hearing also. And if you'll listen to the devil's words, you'll begin to believe his way. Now let me show you some scriptures here. Proverbs 15:30. We just give you enough word here to get anchored in on it, to confirm what I have just said to you. Now you make your own decisions about these things. The Holy Spirit will reveal to you once you understand the principle. Proverbs 15:30. The light of the eyes rejoiceth the heart. The light of the eyes rejoiceth the heart. What comes in your eyes, you see, if it's light, it will cause your heart to rejoice. Now hold your finger there, because we're coming back to Proverbs, and go over to Luke chapter 11. I tell you, this is so clear. It's so clear, and it's so simple, and it's so beautiful. I want all of the body of Christ to see it. Because we're not to live in depression and despair and discouragement. God wants us to have a rejoicing life. Luke 11, verse number 34 and following. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, in other words, when your eye is clear, when it's pure, the whole body also is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, thy body also is full of darkness. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. Take care, therefore, that that which thou allowest to come through thy eyes is not darkness, but is light. Because if you allow the darkness to come in, then the darkness will reside in your heart. If you allow light to come in, it's light that will reside in your heart. Verse number 36, if thy whole body therefore be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light. It is important, very important. It's critical. I cannot overemphasize this. It is critical that the television programs that you watch, the people that you associate with, the books that you read, the radio programs that you listen to, the magazines that you just subscribe to, the things that you take into your life will determine the condition of your heart. And the condition of your heart will determine the nature of your life, whether it be cheerful and merry or whether it be bound by one or more of these three D's. You can do something about it. Now turn, please, to Proverbs 22, verse number 17. You see it about the eyes, all right? Now I want you to see it concerning the ears. Bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply thine heart unto my knowledge. Hear the words of the wise and apply thine heart. For it is a pleasant thing if thou keep them within thee. Now turn to Gospel of Mark, please, chapter 4, verse number 24. Jesus said these words, and he said unto them, take heed what ye hear. For what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. Now, if that isn't clear, there's any way that I could ever make it clear. God's word says, take heed what you listen to. Turn off the stuff that drags you down. Don't listen to that misery-producing garbage that the world delivers. Fill your house with God's word in music. Fill your house with materials that open up the drapes. Let the light come in your homes. And anything that does not edify, get rid of. Now, if you'll do that, you'll save me a lot of time. That's right. That's right. Now the Spirit of God is giving good counsel to you this morning out of His Word. Watch what you see and watch what you hear. And His warning to you is just as clear today, is that if you continue to allow that junk to infiltrate your life, if you allow it to come in and you do not keep your heart with all diligence, Proverbs 4:23. Out of your heart shall flow all of the issues of life. It will not be pleasant. There is a way to walk the high road. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, let me get the verse for you here. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 21. Turn to that because it's important. And it really sums up, I think, what the Spirit of God is saying to us today. It brings it all together. Paul said these words, ye cannot, hear what he said, ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. If you eat the devil's food, you will get the devil's produce in your life. If you eat what the world dishes out, and you know what who the God of this world is, he's Satan. He's the one that's ordaining all of that. He's the God of these world systems. And if you constantly feed at the world's table, you're feeding at the devil's table. And the Bible says you cannot eat at God's table and the devil's table too. There are Christians, many of them, there may be some here this morning, I do not know, who have one hand in the hand of the world and the other hand in the hand of God, and they are trying to walk through their life like this, and they're being jerked and they're being pulled, and their life is miserable. Now, God has not established you in misery. He has established you in righteousness. God's righteousness is given to us out of His Word and through the living Word, the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot pull like this, God on one hand and the devil on the other. And the Spirit of the living God would say unto you today, make a clear-cut choice. Make a clear-cut choice. Who is God? Who are you going to serve? Elijah said when he stood by the mount, he said, if God be God, serve Him. How long halt ye between two opinions? You can't serve both. You can't have a little bit of God and a little bit of the world. You can't. It'll be one or the other. You cannot have the joy of Jesus and the world's entertainment, so to speak. It will bring you into bondage. It's deceitful. It's deceptive. Most believers don't understand this, have never been taught it, have never seen it in the Scripture, do not know the truth of what we've shared this morning, therefore do not know why their lives are so up and down. Take heed what you hear, Jesus said. He said, the eye is the light of the body. And if thine eye be single or clear, then the whole body will be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, allow the darkness to come in, then thy body will be full of darkness. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are all of the issues of life. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You today that Your Word is so absolutely clear. We thank You today, our Father, that You give counsel and guidance concerning every aspect of living life in this world. And yea, Father, even though the times may be perilous and the world may live in discouragement and despair and depression, and that things may wax worse and worse, we praise our God who always causeth us to triumph in Christ Jesus our Lord. We praise You, our Father, that You have called us to be in the world, but not to be partakers of it. And we know, our Father, that at Your table is the fullness of joy, the fullness of love, the fullness of peace of mind and heart, and that when we come to Your table and no longer halt between two opinions, but absolutely and completely make our commitment unto You and Your kingdom in Jesus Christ our Lord, that You enter, cause us to enter into that dining room where we may partake daily of Your joy, of Your peace, of Your health, of Your love, of Your tenderness, of Your fellowship. Our prayer this morning, Father, is that this word which we have heard shall not depart from before our eyes, shall not depart from away from our ears, and shall not depart from out of our hearts. Satan, I bind you right now in Jesus' name that you may not send your thieves to rob the children of God of this word. And I ask you, Father, to cause the word that has gone forth today, the seed of the kingdom of God, to find fertile places in the hearts of every person who's gathered in this auditorium today, and that you would continue to send your sunshine and your rain to nurture that word and make the manifestation of it real and prompt in each person's life. I pray in Jesus' name, and that He may be glorified in the life of everyone that professes Him and believes in Him. And now, while every eye is closed, and I want every eye in the auditorium closed, you young people, I don't want you looking around, I want your eyes closed. You children, I want your eyes closed. Now, please don't make me come to your chair. Close your eyes. It's a time to be respectful and to be reverent before God. It's a time to respect the privacy of other people. If the cry of your heart this morning is to give yourself completely to Jesus, I want to give you an opportunity to do so now. You may never have made a commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ before in all of your life. Or you may have done so and it wasn't meaningful. You didn't mean it, or you didn't have a manifestation of God's presence. Nothing really happened or changed in your life. But the Spirit of God has touched you today. You have been discouraged. You've been depressed. You've been in despair, and there have been times in your life in recent weeks when you didn't know whether you could go another day or even another hour. You've even had some of the wildest thoughts go through your mind that you didn't understand what was happening and why you were even thinking those things. You've had many strange thoughts as ways that you might get out and you might extricate yourself from your difficulty. But the Spirit of God has spoken to you today, and He has shown you the way out. Jesus said, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father except by me." There's only one way. The world will tell you there are many ways, that it's all right just to be a good person. That's not true. The Bible tells us that hell is full of good people that we're not born again. The world will tell you it's all right as long as you don't hurt somebody else. Jesus said, "No man cometh unto God except by me," that all of your good works are just like filthy rags before God, that it's only by faith in the Lord Jesus that God will be pleased. Only by faith that we can please Him, not by our good deeds and not by our good works. And the Spirit of God is dealing with you today. And you would like to give yourself to Jesus, either for the first time, or maybe you'd like to renew that commitment with Him. You'd like to say, "Jesus, I hear your word. I receive your truth today. I know that you're real. I want you to help me, Lord. And as you help me, I'll live for you with your help and with your strength." That's the desire of your heart today. While every eye is closed, I invite you just to raise your right hand. Just to lift your hand and let God know that you make a new and fresh commitment to Him, that you're trusting Him, that you're believing in Him, and that you're seeking His help and His guidance. Yes, He sees those hands. He sees those hands, and He sees the hearts as well. Thank you, Father. 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 I ask you, Father, to cause your Holy Spirit to come upon each one of these that have raised their hands. Cause your Spirit to come, Father, in tenderness as well as in power. And
And in Jesus' name, Father, cause each heart to be loosed from whatever may bind it. Cause each heart to be set free that it might be merry. Cause each heart to have a manifestation of the liberty that's in the Spirit of God. We thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' lovely name. Amen. And amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. God is so good, isn't he? Praise the Lord. James, would you come, please? Praise God. Praise the Lord. Is there anybody here this morning that did not receive from the Lord what they needed when they came in? That has asked for something from God and has not received? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just close your eyes just for a moment again. I want you to lift your right hand up to the Lord. And I want you just to begin to thank him. Just thank him aloud. That's good. Just thank him aloud for what he has done. Our Father, we praise you and we bless you. We thank you for what you have done for us this morning, each one individually and together collectively as the body and the family of God. We bless you, our Father, today in the Spirit and in truth. We give you our thanks, Father, for your goodness, for your love, for your care towards us. In Jesus' holy name, amen.